Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Tuesday, April 7th. I'm Sarith Hawk. A new book looks at the trials and tribulations facing the people who take part in the U.S. economy, especially business owners.
It's a great human story of these farmers, you know, taking a great risk.
One of those stories involves a Fresno County raisin business that sparked a major legal case. We have a conversation with the authors in just a minute, but first, these news headlines. Violent incidents last week at two popular events in the city of Fresno, ranging from fights to stabbings, have led the Fresno Police Department to step up security measures. KVPR's Israel Cardona Hernandez reports.
A string of violent incidents in downtown and North Fresno last week got the attention of Fresno police. There were multiple fights in Rio Park and the R-Hop event downtown. Some of those fights led to stabbings. Police say several people were injured, but no one was killed. Two people were arrested at the Rio Park. Four others are being questioned. In response, Fresno police announced the creation of Violent Crime Suppression, a citywide operation to keep an eye on major public gathering places in areas with high crime rates. Fresno police say the main goal is to reduce violence in the city. For KVPR News, I'm Israel Cardona Hernandez.
President Trump has officially offered his endorsement for California governor. He threw his backing behind Republican Steve Hilton. Trump posted the endorsement on his social media platform, Truth Social. He called Hilton, who is a former Fox News host, a truly fine man whom he has known for years. Trump's endorsement comes about a month before mail ballots go to voters ahead of the June 2nd primary. CNN will hold a two-hour debate for the California governor's race on Tuesday, May 5th. The National News Network is inviting candidates who have at least 3% support among likely primary voters in at least two state polls. Polling in early February by the nonpartisan Public Policy Institute of California found Republicans Chad Bianco, Steve Hilton, and three Democrats all in close competition. California is joining a legal fight against a Trump administration immigration policy that keeps undocumented immigrants in detention without the chance to request bond. Critics say the policy is also benefiting private prisons. Cap Radio's Gerardo Zavala reports.
Data from Detention Watch Network shows more than 90% of non-citizen detainees are held in privately operated centers. Giselle Garcia with the immigrant rights group NorCal Resist says longer stays means more money for the companies that run those facilities.
These companies, they get paid based on how full these facilities are. So the incentive to incarcerate immigrants is high for the corporation.
Garcia says detainees report unsafe conditions, including mold, poor medical care, and even expired food. Advocates say bond hearings are significant because they're used to determine whether a defendant can be released from jail before a trial and under what conditions. Retired immigration judge Dana Lee Marks says eliminating bond hearings for undocumented individuals represents a major shift. Longstanding immigration practice has typically only prohibited the hearings for individuals who are convicted of an aggravated felony.
This is simply a way to continue to monetize the benefits of the private prison industry by making it impossible for these people to be released from custody.
Mark says the policy violates rights to due process. In Sacramento, I'm Gerardo Zavala.
California has yet to reissue commercial driver's licenses for 13,000 immigrant truck drivers who had theirs revoked last month. Our news partner Cal Matters reports delays in getting those licenses reinstated despite court orders. Drivers who had their licenses revoked can reapply with the DMV, but were informed the processing can take up to a year. The DMV is under pressure from the U.S. Department of Transportation not to issue the licenses. The Transportation Department threatened to pull millions in funding for state highway projects.
KVPR's podcast, Central Valley Daily, is proud to be the Valley's only daily news podcast. And what better way to show your support for local news than to join us at Corks and Brews, KVPR's Beer and Wine Festival. We'll have live music, food trucks, and a silent auction all along the gorgeous San Joaquin River. The event is Sunday, May 3rd, and tickets are $75. Get yours at kvpr.org. We can't wait to see you there.
And now to our main story. It seems that all anybody can talk about these days is the economy. Gas prices, tariffs, median home prices, the cost of living, all of it seems to be going up. And as a consumer, it can often feel like we never really understand why the economy fluctuates so much. But a new book from NPR's Planet Money podcast helps dispel some of the confusion and includes a chapter dedicated to a small part of California's agriculture industry. Specifically, the section of the book looks into a so-called raisin cartel operation here in the Central Valley. KVPR's Elizabeth Arkalian spoke with the authors of the Planet Money book, including contributor Alex Mayasi and host Kenny Malone. Alex starts by telling us why now was the right time for this book.
I just felt like a Planet Money book should exist and it would be so great. And then also, like, NPR was thinking about book projects and the Planet Money team was thinking about a book. So there was great timing there in terms of just like within the team. But then also, I think, you know, as we started thinking about this book, you know, so much was happening in the economy. We're coming out of the pandemic. There was, you know, high inflation in the U.S. for the first time in a long time. We weren't sure if remote work was here to stay or not. And then further along, you know, we had tariffs and the trade war becoming this big, important economic topic that lots of people were grappling with, as well as AI and automation. So it just seemed like a really good time to help people better understand the economy. And hopefully in a way that wasn't, you know, kind of like getting lost in news headlines, but I was able to take a step back, learn principles, take the long view, and learn through great entertaining stories as well.
Well, the book's about, as you mentioned, the economic forces that sort of shape our lives, but it's also not a typical economics book. Just even briefly going through it, it's super colorful. There's illustrations, there's diagrams. Why was that the right approach to take for this Planet Money book? I'll maybe have you go, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, I just love that this book looks completely unlike a standard business, economics, social science book. But I think, you know, that is, I think economics is something we see as like really fascinating. We're curious about it and we find that it can be really delightful. Like, I think this book is full of super interesting and a number of stories that are just like delightful. We find a lot of joy in this. And I think having a book that's colorful, that has some great illustrations, some of which are rather like surrealist or bizarre, and also has like fun Easter eggs that the fans of the Planet Money show should look for. I think that's just like part of Planet Money's ethos and style. And it was really fun to put that in, take that from the show and put that into the book.
Love that. Well, Kenny, you cover a lot of lessons and stories in the book. And in chapter three, of course, there's the story about this crazy fight over the sale of raisins. It takes place here in our region, Central California. Give listeners just a brief overview of that story, because I think it's a really good example of how Planet Money covers really big, important topics in a relatable way.
Yeah. So this is one of the greatest episodes that Planet Money has ever made. I can say that it predates my time at the show. It's such a good tale, but it is about this timeless problem that's about commodities. These are things that are virtually indistinguishable from each other as products. So some of these might include, you know, oranges are generally indistinguishable from other oranges. I know we're going to get a ton of emails about cuties versus mandarins or whatever. but generally speaking, commodities trade at the same price. And so you run the risk of agricultural products in particular kind of being in this race to the bottom where no one's going to pay any more than the cost of production. And so to protect the commodities, the industries that make some of these commodities, the government has allowed basically cartels to form. So for little teeny groups of producers to get together and control the price in a way that would typically not be allowed. And one of the sort of great dramas that played out in this world happens to be about raisins and someone who did not want to be a part of the cartel and the fallout from that. And yeah. Alex, if you, I'm trying not to give too much away, but Alex, do you want to add more to that?
I think I'll just add that it's a really interesting example of, like, I think through the story, I mean, it's a great human story of these farmers, you know, taking a great risk because they want to do things their own way. But I also think the story really kind of illustrates, like, why prices are so powerful. You know, prices, just like how much you have to pay for something, but prices are also signals. You know, if the if the price of raisins are really high, maybe lots of people should start pick up raisin farming, you know, if they're able. If the, you know, price of raisins is really low, well, what does that mean? Maybe you should switch from raisins to almonds, as many people did in the area. So you kind of see how prices signal information, how they incentivize all of us, how they coordinate the economy, even without any central planning. And then also a case of, like, what happens when people try to intervene and kind of put their thumb on the scale, because you don't necessarily want things to, you know, just play out according to market forces in some cases.
There's all sorts of dynamics. And I want to read this one passage that you highlight in the chapter. It says, it's at the paradox at the heart of our economy. Markets foster competition that benefits customers and drives innovation and growth, but competition erodes profits. So a lot of companies constantly seek an escape from competition. Then you go on to say companies can escape the commodity trap by creating new products, applying for patents, cultivating coveted brands like Apple or Gucci. But many farmers and agriculturalists cannot escape. To most customers, an orange is an orange is an orange. Which I really appreciate that that's what people in our area, this predominantly agricultural area, are facing. Because, yes, there have been those standouts, like you say, cuties, or we were talking about pistachios have had a great rebrand and all of that.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, a lot of these people are farming day in, day out, and they may not have the same access to innovate, you know, special products when they're growing the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, and like cuties, branding these oranges is a way to try and escape the commodities trap and try to distinguish a product that to some consumers is indistinguishable. And I do think, like, if that is, you know, that doesn't necessarily, just because you're an incredible a steward of the land and grower of produce, it doesn't, I mean, it's a big ask to also then be like, oh, and also we need you to figure out how to brand your product in a way that is going to stand out and possibly help you escape the commodities trap.
Yeah, and I think these different cooperatives that form, which you point out in the book really well, is that they're there to protect people, but they can inadvertently suppress them as well. And that's sort of what people are navigating.
Absolutely.
Okay. Any other quick stories you want to point out that were super memorable and just what you hope people will take away from your book?
Let's go from raisins to pickles.
Oh.
The first chapter of this book starts with someone who runs a food bank in Alaska, and they received a huge shipment of pickles. She's like, ugh, these just aren't useful to us. And so this is a classic economic dilemma about, like, using resources effectively. And in this first chapter, it's about how a group of economists end up partnering with this national kind of cooperative of food banks to figure out, you know, can they use economics to, like, get the right food donations to the food banks that need them most. And I think that's just, like, a really delightful chapter because it's called The Pickle Problem, and I'm a pickle guy. But also, I think there are a lot of people out there who I understand some skepticism. Economics has some associations with finance, with people who want to use big words to intimidate you, with complicated concepts. But it's something that's very human. It's very related to our life. And you can see in that chapter how economics just really made these food banks and the people they serve better off, and the way that economic thinking can improve society and improve our daily lives. So that's a chapter that, like, I really loved working on.
I mean, and I'll just tease this chapter, but there is a chapter called The Labor of Finding Love that is about how you may take a numeric approach to finding a mate or a partner, and some of the strange incentives created for the dating apps that we all use and don't think that much about. Like, if you find someone and get off the app, is that good for the company running the app? I don't know.
Yeah.
Worth thinking about, worth reading about, I would say, in the Planet Money book.
Okay, Alex Mayasi and Kenny Malone, authors of Planet Money, A Guide to the Economic Forces That Shape Your Life. Thank you so much for your time, both of you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. This is
Thank
awesome.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
That was KVPR's Elizabeth Arkalian. Alex and Kenny's book is now available. For purchase options and to check out their book tour dates, visit planetmoneybook.com. And you can listen to Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and hear segments from the show on KVPR's broadcast, 89.3 FM in Fresno, 89.1 in Bakersfield. And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado, Jonathan Linden, and Elizabeth Arkalian, with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Sarith Hawk. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.